Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps, and today we have an exciting interview lined up for you. We're going to be talking about where you should be putting your savings right now, not your investments, but where's a good place to park your savings right now. Our guest today is Mark Biller. He's the executive editor of Sound Mind Investing, which is America's premier Christian financial newsletter. And Sharon, before we talk to Mark, we want to share some information about what lenders are doing today. And being a former banker, this topic has a lot of interest to you.
Well, certainly when I was in the banking world, we didn't have some of these tools, but it's interesting to hear these reports that some lenders are starting to monitor social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and they are gathering data about their customers from those sites. There's a company that's called RapLeaf.com, and it's providing lenders with this type of data from their social networking pages. And it's likely that there will be more companies in the future that do that using a technique that they call data scanning. They look for connections between data and link those things together. Now, right now, RapLeaf insists that the data they're providing is information for targeted marketing campaigns. But it only makes sense that they could possibly move into the area of using that data for other decisions like lending decisions. So what do we do as consumers?
Well, Sharon, I find it fascinating that lenders are moving into this area because for so long, especially young people, they just thought it didn't matter what you posted online. And now they're finding out that public information can be used for private purposes, and they really need to be much more careful.
Common sense tells us that the day may be coming when whatever you post online could impact your credit score and many other important aspects of our lives. So we want to encourage you to remember that anything you post on the internet is really public information, even if you're not thinking that it should be. We want to advise you to be careful about what you post online about yourself.
And what you say can and will be used against you.
Absolutely.
Also, if you want to opt out of RapLeaf.com's database, you can do so, and we provided a link on our website at crown.org. You'll also find a link to a smartmoney.com article that gives you more information about RapLeaf and this trend with lenders.
Anyway, we'll continue in the program today. We'll be talking about where you need to put your savings and visiting with Mark Biller of Sound Mind Investing.
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope this program is a blessing to you. If you have a question for us, be sure to go to crown.org and click on Ask Chuck. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Has the economy pressured you to rethink your career? Does your heart long to take the next step and pursue God's true calling for your life? Whether you're planning for your first job or your last, the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries can help. With Career Direct, you'll analyze four critical areas: your personality, skills, interests, and values. You'll learn more about the real you and develop a plan to grow personally and professionally. You'll learn to see your strengths. And the Career Direct Complete Guidance System is designed from a biblical perspective to help you maximize your career by maximizing your God-given gifts and abilities. Career Direct can be completed in about an hour online. For more, go to CareerDirectOnline.org and try the free Personality ID Profile. That's CareerDirectOnline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Mark Biller, executive editor of Sound Mind Investing and a long-term friend of this ministry. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Today we're going to talk about where to put savings because people have two objectives, and this has become sort of the investment philosophy of 2010. Help me not to lose any more money. I'm on the defensive. I just can't take any more losses. But with what I have left, I want to be sure I'm getting the maximum return on it. So many people write and ask me, where do I put my savings? I want to protect it, but I want a good yield on that savings. So they're looking for a safe harbor with a high yield, and that is a tricky question. So, Mark, I'm going to put that one in your lap. Where do you advise people to go if they want to get a better return on the money that they're parking in savings right now?
Boy, that's a good question. I think to answer that, we've got to start with the basic defining of what are we talking about when we're saying their savings. For someone who is looking at their retirement investing, they're going to have a different answer than somebody who's talking about, say, their emergency fund. And so we've got to be real careful in defining what are we talking about with the savings. For somebody who's investing for the long term, there are some things that would be appropriate, like bond funds, that take a little bit more risk that you wouldn't want to take if you're talking about your emergency savings.
Okay, now I want to talk about that for just a second.
Sure.
Because I totally agree with you that emergency savings, those are things that are set aside that are really not at risk. But a bond fund is money that's actually at risk, isn't it?
It sure is. And that's really what's going on in the market right now is a lot of people are either confusing those terms, confusing those boundaries, or they're just willing in that pursuit of yield to ignore the fact that they are taking several steps up the risk ladder by moving from the traditional savings products to bond funds, which are more of a long-term investing product. And that's a dangerous game that people are playing right now.
So what can happen in the bond market that makes it riskier than, say, just parking it in a traditional savings account or CD or mutual fund?
Well, the thing that's making it particularly risky right now, Chuck, is that we have these historically low interest rates. The Federal Reserve has lowered rates to extremes in order to try to jumpstart the economy. And what that has done is that's pushed bond yields down very, very low. Now, that's not a problem in and of itself. The problem comes as the economy has gotten stronger and as we emerge out of this crisis, hopefully, in the months and years to come, as those interest rates move back into a more normal range, when interest rates rise, bond prices fall. So people are piling into these bonds and bond funds right now, chasing that yield, perhaps not realizing that from today's yields, there's really nowhere to go but up for interest rates. And as those rates rise, the value of their bond holdings is going to fall. And that can be pretty significant. Vanguard, I remember several years ago, we published a booklet from Vanguard, some results from this booklet, that said that a 2% increase in interest rates would cause short-term bonds to fall in value by about 5%, intermediate-term bonds to lose 10%, and long-term bonds to fall 20%. Now, I'm pretty confident, Chuck, that when most people buy bonds, they're not thinking about losing 10 to 20%, but that's the type of potential that we're talking about as they move into these riskier investments.
Now, Mark, I think we have some listeners that may not even completely understand what a bond is. Would you take just a second to give the definition of a bond fund?
Absolutely. A bond is simply thought of as an IOU. So somebody who wants to borrow money, whether that's the federal government, a corporation like Ford, or a municipal government entity, anybody who's wanting to borrow money like that would issue a bond, and then you and I could buy that bond, and in essence what we're doing is we're loaning our money to that entity. So a bond fund simply takes a great number of these bonds and aggregates them so that for a small amount of money, say $1,000, I could buy shares of a bond fund and have little bitty interests in all of these separate IOUs. And that helps me diversify some of the risk, which is a great biblical principle to diversify risk. And it makes it very easy for me to participate in all these little loans. It makes it safer, but it's important to understand it doesn't eliminate risk completely, especially that interest rate risk that we're talking about.
Right. And if you're in the bond fund, say that the state of California may owe you money, you might be at pretty high risk right now, right?
Absolutely, because then you're facing not only the interest rate risk that we've been discussing, but also the default risk that the entity that owes you the money may not be able to pay it back. Ask anybody who owned a General Motors bond, for example, a year or two ago, what can happen when the entity cannot pay you back in full. That's a hard lesson to learn.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, let's get back to my original question. What are the various types of savings vehicles, and when should we use them? And we've got just a minute before the break.
Sure. Well, traditionally, we have recommended very liquid vehicles like money market funds and money market accounts for that emergency savings. As your savings timeline expands more for an accumulation fund for a car or something like that, then you can start creeping up the risk ladder a little bit to a vehicle like a CD or a short-term bond fund.
Okay, Mark, so it depends on your time horizon, and the lowest risk of all is a money market account, and then you set a money market fund. What's the difference between those two?
Well, a money market account is something you would get through your local bank, probably, and that is guaranteed by the FDIC that if the bank runs into trouble, your money is supposedly not at risk because the government would step in and restore the balance of your account. A money market fund is investing in similar types of things behind the scenes, very short-term debt, government debt that's extremely short-term, measured in days, not even months or years. The difference between the two...
And Mark, if you'll hold on just a second, we've got to take our break now, but I want to hear the difference between the money market account and the money market fund when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll take a break and be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Mark Biller, Executive Editor of Sound Mind Investing. You can find them online at soundmindinvesting.com. Mark, you were explaining the difference between a money market account and a money market fund. One is FDIC insured and the other is not. What's the other big difference?
Well, that's the most important difference for someone to understand. The key is that in exchange for being a little bit more risky, the money market fund has traditionally yielded a little bit more than a money market account. So as you take another step out on the risk ladder, you get compensated with a higher yield. But it's important to point out that right now, that traditional relationship really doesn't exist. The yields on both of those instruments are quite low and very comparable. So right now, you may as well just take the convenience and safety of the money market account at your local bank if you're choosing between those two products.
And do you rate a CD as a higher level of risk than a money market fund?
Well, no. The money market fund, given what we learned during the financial downturn, which was really the first time that money market funds have been exposed as carrying any type of real measurable risk. You know, a CD at this point from an FDIC guaranteed bank is going to be safer and oftentimes will yield a little bit less than a money market fund depending on the time frame of the CD.
Okay, Mark, let's switch gears. If I'm still focused on trying to build savings and get a higher return on my savings account, but I'm not really ready to be an investor and put it at great risk, is there any way that mutual funds can help meet my needs?
When you move into mutual funds, Chuck, you're really taking that next step up into the area of short-term bonds that we were talking about a little bit earlier. So if you're talking about emergency savings, I would say no. You probably would not want to make that step. But there's another type of savings that at Sound Mind Investing, we simply refer to it as an accumulation fund. Let's say you're trying to save money to replace your car, say 3 or 4 years from now. For someone with that kind of a savings time frame, it would be appropriate to take a small step up in risk to, say, a short-term bond fund. Because, as we discussed earlier, you can lose money in a bond fund, a short-term bond fund, but typically, if you've got at least a 2 to 3 year time frame, the higher yields that those bonds pay will offset any short-term losses you might incur in that short-term bond fund. So it kind of depends, and that's a key savings principle is always try to match your savings vehicle to your savings time frame.
Okay, so if money market accounts are paying, what, a 0.5% right now?
Yep, about that.
So what would a short-term bond fund be paying that you would rate as relatively safe?
Well, they again, it's important to understand that they don't have the same type of guaranteed yields or nearly guaranteed yields. But over the last year or so, short-term bond funds probably have yielded between 4 and 5%. The risk that you take is that over a 6-month or 12-month period, those could go negative for a brief period of time. So you're kind of playing the risk of if I get 4 to 5% yields normally but have a period where I actually lose a little bit, will I come out ahead over, say, a 3-year period as opposed to earning a more steady 0.5% per year?
Okay. So, Mark, what are some of the other savings options that people might need to be considering right now?
Well, for the shorter-term savings, you mentioned CDs at one point, and those can be a real helpful tool. One thing that we see a lot of people do is limit themselves to, say, their local bank when they're shopping for CDs. And a lot of people don't know that you can get better deals if you're willing to go online and do a little bit of research. So there are some online savings banks that can offer you FDIC-insured CDs that will pay a little bit more. We listed a few in our most recent newsletter that were paying between 1.2 and 1.3% for their money markets and similar for 6-month to 1-year CDs. So sometimes you can bump up yield even with the same product if you're willing to not go with a local bank and take your money online that way. So that would be one option that a lot of people could get into very easily without a lot of risk.
Well, Mark, by making that move, you're effectively increasing your yield on, say, your passive income by 100%, going from, you know, a 0.5 point to a full point or 1.5 points. That's significant. But how do I know that those are safe places to put my money? How do I evaluate an online saving bank?
Well, there are some organizations online like Bankrate.com that will give you some safety evaluations of different banks, different ratings. The big thing is to check and make sure that it's an FDIC-insured institution. If you have that, that's a pretty good sign that you're not putting your money at a lot of risk.
You guys are the publishers of the premier Christian financial newsletter in the country, aren't you?
We are, and we try to approach financial topics from a biblical worldview. So we always are keeping that in mind. But the big thing we try to do is come alongside you every month and give you a little bit of insight into the current market, what you need to be doing, how you can prepare, and how you can save and invest effectively for your future.
Mark, it's been so helpful to have you on today. How can folks who are listening get more information about Sound Mind Investing?
The easiest way is to go to soundmindinvesting.com, and you can check out our website, see what we do and what we have to offer, and if it's a good match for what you need.
Mark Biller, Executive Editor of Sound Mind Investing, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you, Chuck.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Prior. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Sharon, that was a great amount of information for our listeners today. Mark is just excellent at helping us to find new ways to get a good return on our savings.
And that's a particular challenge in these low interest rate environments.
Well, from our perspective, everything comes back to the context of the money map. We believe it's so important that you make all decisions in a sequence that allows you to stay out of trouble. And if given the choice with what to do with the money you may have available to you right now, I recommend you learn how to save it before you learn how to invest it.
And, you know, that's a really confusing concept to most of us. What's the difference between savings and investing, Chuck?
Well, in essence, the money you save is not put at risk. It's a guaranteed account that allows you to earn some interest for parking your money there, but you're not really putting it at risk. Investment money, on the other side, has a potential for a greater reward, a greater return, but also you can lose it.
You know, the other difference between saving and investing is the timeline, because with savings, we need those accounts to be where we can easily reach them, where we can get to the money when we need it for our emergency or for a goal. And with investing, we need to have a little bit more flexible timeline in order to take advantage of that higher risk return ratio.
Well, I think that's why we get so many questions about borrowing from a 401k or from an IRA, because people have gotten the two confused. They thought that their investment account was their savings account, and now they realize they need access to it, and it's going to be a significant penalty to have to use it. So the money map helps you avoid that problem. You get your savings set aside first, and then you put it away for long term and allow it to grow and to ride out some of the ups and downs. So very important part, and I do hope you'll pick up a copy of the money map and begin to follow along with the plan that is so simple to follow.
And we can't overemphasize the importance of savings, because if there's one thing that can make the difference on your financial journey, it's having savings available when needs come up rather than having to borrow.
Absolutely, Sharon. Well, I want to talk to all of you who faithfully listen to this program. I'm especially grateful for the personal part you're playing in making this ministry possible. By supporting us as a partner, you're making an eternal impact all over the world with the message of hope and financial freedom that's found in Christ. But because we've had a very slow winter and spring, we're facing some critical budget shortfalls, and I'd like to ask you for your help. I'd like to ask you first to pray for us and intercede and ask the Lord to abundantly provide during this critical time. And while you're praying, to ask the Lord if he would use you to help meet this critical need, and then give as the Lord directs you. I hope you'll give generously to enable us to continue being here through the radio broadcast, through our online outreach, and through over 80 nations around the world. You can give simply by going online to crown.org or calling us at 1-800-722-1976. God bless you for praying for our needs, and I do hope to hear from you. Well, on behalf of Sharon Epps, I'm Chuck Bentley. Thanks for joining us today for Money Life.